And I, what I heard the F word. Why are you frazzled?
Too many things going on at once.
Yeah, but if it's going on, God's allowing it because you can handle it.
Yep.
But see, there's, you know what it is? There's a little tag I put on the end of it. God will never allow you to go through anything that you're not able to handle. So you can handle anything that you're going through if you want to. The problem is to face some things, I'm talking about me, that I just don't want to deal with. And because of that, I wind up frustrated, frazzled, even angry. This isn't always a smiley face. Well, one of the things we found out, if I may, everything is 100% in our control. Because nobody has the power or the right to make us do anything. They just create circumstances and they cause us to have a different thought about it, and we change. But if we hold on, it doesn't matter what anybody does. I was a responder. You push my buttons, and I responded, and I made some horrible choices because I wanted to respond. And it wasn't until I became born again and I realized that I could disconnect these buttons. So people started pushing them, and nothing happened, and folks started going like this. Because they don't know what to expect, because they pushed the buttons and this should have happened, this usually happened, and he just looked at me and smiled. It's like if somebody goes up and just hauls off and punches you in the side of the face with all their might, and you stand and look at them and smile, they start backing away because they don't know what's going on with you. That's the principle that sickness uses. It comes. It gives you a big smack, you know, and then it just watches what you do. You start falling to pieces, it comes on even stronger. But if you act like it's no big deal because you know who you are and what you have, I mean, it was easier for me, not easier, but because I was a mama's boy, it was understanding the kingdom principles was easy for me. Because I wasn't ashamed of being a mama's boy. As a high school senior, most of them have heard this, but as a high school senior, almost 6'5", 220 pounds back in 1968, when someone was a heavyweight at 175 pounds. Okay. So I was a big, muscular guy, and folks would say, the other boys would try and get me to do things after school. And it's not that I didn't want to do them, but mommy said, come home. And so I'd say, I can't. I said, come on, Fitz, why not? I said, well, mommy said, come home. They said, mommy said, come home? I said, yeah, mommy said, come home. You always do what mommy says? I did, pretty much. And when they really started pressing me about it, I said, listen, you need to understand something. On my worst day, if we fight, I have a 50-50 chance of winning the fight, but I happen to feel very good today. I said, but understand this. If we fight and you win, mommy will come after you. So finding out that Christ, that God fights for me was a little easier. So let the devil know. You know, if by any chance, because you're already defeated, but if by any chance it even looks like you're winning, Daddy will come after you. It's just that simple. So we've learned not to let circumstances dictate how we're going to feel or what we're going to do. We're going to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God in us direct us, period. And it won't matter what the devil does. Because we have a covenant that includes healing. That's what the title should have been. Our covenant includes healing. Yeah, we can, let's make that change. I don't like to call it a covenant. We have a covenant, and that covenant includes healing. See, in the scriptures, I noticed that the words mercy and compassion are pretty much the same. You know, to have compassion is to love tenderly, to show pity, to show mercy, you know, just to have this, like, this eagerness, this yearning for someone. And we tend to magnify the power of God rather than the compassion of God. Yes, God is powerful, and that's a big deal, but he's compassionate, and that's a bigger deal. And the Bible emphasizes the willingness of God to use his power more than it emphasizes the power itself. The Bible is trying to let us know that God is powerful, but he uses that power on our behalf because he loves us. And the entire Bible, you know, is this unfolding story that just shows us how continuously God forgives us and how tenderly he loves us. And he does all of this through Christ. So while it's not enough, read the way I got it, while it's not enough to establish that the mighty works that Jesus did have been passed down, you know, to his disciples, and then it went from his disciples and apostles to the entire body of Christ, anyone who received Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, you know, all of those ability to do mighty works have passed down. But it's of the utmost importance for everyone to understand and recognize that healing is part of the covenant or is included in our covenant relationship with God. It's like that old commercial for Prego spaghetti sauce. It's in there. You know, it's in there. And for us, you know, it's all right for us to say, you know, we have a New Testament with God. It's just a new covenant. And that it's binding. It's a binding contract between us and God. It's binding. And as long as both parties live up to the terms, it'll be in effect. And if it's not in effect, someone has broken the terms. And I feel very comfortable standing up here and guaranteeing God will never break the terms of the covenant. Folks get upset with God because he enforces the terms of the covenant. You know, it's just like I used to tell my sons, look, because they said to me that it wasn't fair that they would get punished for doing something. I said, what do you mean that's not fair? And they said, well, if we knew what the punishment was beforehand, we probably wouldn't have done it. I said, that sounds reasonable. So we sat down and came up with a list. They would tell me all the things they might do, and I'd write down, this is what will happen. This is what will happen. So they knew. They knew the terms of our covenant. Okay. And I said, now don't get upset with me when I abide by them. Because we're good at writing things and agreeing to them, but then when we have to live them out, well, then it's something different. You know. But when it comes to, you know, the power of God, the love of God, I was thinking about that, and what I heard in my spirit was it's important to understand that while our covenant is based on the kindness, the love, and the mercy of God, the covenant is enforced by the power of God. So we need to understand that. You have a powerful God. We have a powerful God that enforces his covenant with us. And in our covenant, God promised that he would heal all sickness. Not a few. He said he'd heal all our diseases. Now, that brings for an interesting thought. And you know me, sometimes I'm a sacred cow kicker. But, you know, there's a lot of you, when you're learning the Christian jargon, so to speak, the language, the talk, people would get upset and you say, well, my sickness, don't claim it. God said in the covenant he would heal all my diseases. And if I say I don't have any, I'm saying, God, there's no work here for you to do. He said I'll heal all your diseases. Yeah, I don't have any diseases. Okay. By the way, I'll be seeing you soon. If you get my drift. But that promise is part of the benefits that are included in the covenant, that he would heal all our diseases, all of it. You know, it says the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I'll probably mention that again, but if a burglar comes to your house, you're going to say, this ain't my house. No, he came to your house, and his purpose for coming, his only reason for coming, is to try and steal, kill, and destroy. Well, we need to understand that. One of the issues that I've noticed is that believers say they believe during peacetime. Then something comes up and our faith goes down. Sickness shows up, faith goes down. And, you know, I think, and I wonder about a lot of things. I wonder, even with myself, I'm like, all right, God, why did I respond that way? You know, why did this happen? I mean, I just like to figure things out. And people feel that they have no hope because while they are believing, sickness shows up. You know, it's not that they're not believing, they're running around acting like they're, you know, that they're not in the world, that they're, what's the word I'm thinking about? Heathens. But no, they're Christians. They could be in the ministries of helps. They could be prayer warriors. They could be, you know, have any office. They could be out there. They could be missionaries. They could be evangelists. And they're going about doing their work, and next thing they know, they're in the emergency room. And it's like, God, I thought I was your child. Why are you making yourself an orphan? Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Let's stop right there for a minute. Since he forgives all our iniquities, why are we concerned that we might do something that causes us to fall out of favor? He said he forgives all of our iniquities. And then he said he heals all your diseases. All of them. This scripture, it exhorts us for a reason, because like I said, I wonder, I'm like, okay, why are you saying that? It's telling us not to forget all of the benefits that come with being a born-again child of God, because things are going to happen. Stuff is going to come, and it's going to come to try and get you to forget all of his benefits. And he doesn't want us to do that. Healing is an important part of the covenant that we entered into and received Christ. And the problem is that we forget because we think that if we're symptomatic, then the covenant doesn't work. But there's something that I... Well, go to Exodus 23. Am I rushing to get here? I left my... I had this huge pair of green glasses I wanted to use as a prop, but it's okay. Exodus 23, verse 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will do what? He'll do what to sickness? He'll take it away. Okay. Let's look at Deuteronomy 7. Verse 15. What are the first few words in that passage? Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. And the Lord will... The Lord will take away from thee all sicknesses. Now, let me ask you a question. What has to happen before something can be taken from you? Say it again.
You gotta get sick first.
You have to have it. We get upset when sickness comes. But God said, I'm going to take sickness away from you. One scripture says, I'm going to take it away from your very midst. How can he do that if sickness doesn't come? He's letting us know sickness is going to come. Don't get upset because when it comes, I'm going to take it away from you. He never said, I will never allow sickness to come. What he said was, I will take it away when it comes. So why are we getting ourselves all bent out of shape when sickness comes? God said it would come. He made it part of his covenant, what he was going to do for us when it comes. And what he was going to do to the sickness, take it away. And we sometimes get in the way because we get into unbelief because of what we're going through. And I'm speaking from godly wisdom and experience because I've had minor stuff and I've had what's considered major stuff a couple of times. The devil came. First, he came with one pulmonary embolism. Then he came with gallbladders, with gallstones. Then he came with prostate cancer. Then he came with multiple blood clots in both of my lungs. Okay. Then he came with what do you call it when a vessel breaks, the bleeding from the blood thinners. They had me on Coumadin and an aspirin and I'm on my way to my grandson's concert driving and it felt like your nose is running. We're at a corner, so I stopped and went like this and looked down and it was red. And I'm like, what is, then it was drip, drip, pour. Lost 2 units of blood. Two. My blood count was down to 8. And the doctor said, wow. They said, when look at you and your age, your body seems to be able to handle this amount of blood loss. I said, that's my father's spirit inside me. And they wanted to, they couldn't get it to stop by their what they call their calmer measures. I didn't think it was calm, the stuff that they were packing up my nose. And then they said, well, there's one more thing that they want us to try. And if this doesn't work, we have to rush you immediately over to the main campus and we have to do emergency surgery to cauterize because you'll just bleed out. And then the nurse came, patted me on the knee and said, "But sir, this is much more uncomfortable than anything else we've done." Well, she was being nice when she said uncomfortable. She should have said, "This is going to hurt like the Dickens." And I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Are there any children in this room?" And she said, "What?" I said, "Are there any children in here?" And she went and she looked. She said, "No, there are no children." I said, "Well, do it now." Have any of you seen that program, Welcome Back, Cotter?
Yes.
What is Vinnie Barbarino, what do they always say? Up your nose with a rubber hose? Well, that's what they did. They stuck this thing up my nose. And when I said, "Go ahead." And when they stuck it up my nose, and I felt so moved, I opened up my mouth and let it out. And I said, "Don't stop, just finish." And they finished, and I'm like, "Okay." So that wasn't too bad. And they were like, "Now we have to inflate it." I didn't get mad at God. It's like, "Thank you, Lord. You didn't say how you were going to take it away from me. But all I know is that blood wasn't pouring out of my nose anymore. And I had to keep that thing, and had to stay in my nose for 3 days." And they took it out, and they still had to cauterize it because even after 3 days, it was still leaking. And they said, "It will probably heal on its own." I said, "We ain't going with probably." "But that's okay. Cauterize it. Do it. You know, let's get it done." But the thing is, God couldn't move on my behalf unless something happened. You know, we have to think about that. We want the promises of God. Well, sometimes Jesus said, "In this world, you will receive, you know, 20, 60, 100-fold houses and children and all with persecutions." So yes, all the good stuff is going to happen, but some other stuff is going to come along with it. But don't you worry about it, because when it comes, I'll take care of it. That's why he said in John 10, the thief comes with the intentions of stealing, killing, and destroying. It's important to understand that that's what his intention is. We hear that, or we read that verse, and we think, well, that's what he's going to do. Every time the devil comes up, he's going to steal something. No, every time he comes, he's coming with that intention. But if you have everything in place, he's not going to fail. Just like in a natural, where someone comes to break into your home, but they come in and they find out you're protected, they leave. They go and try and find somebody, some home that's not protected. Now remember, the thief comes. Sickness comes. It doesn't live with you. It's not a roommate. It comes. And it sometimes it comes with an invitation that we didn't realize we sent. What do I mean by that? On Tuesday, I felt like I wanted a coffee from 7-Eleven. I could have gone anywhere. I could have gotten it home, you know, because the thought didn't come until after I backed out of the driveway. It's like, I feel like coffee. But I said, I'll go to 7-Eleven. I like going to the stores and talking to the people anyway. So I go in, and sometimes how your children used to go and they would just go to the soda dispenser and get some of this and some of that and some of that and some of that and just mix it. Sometimes I do that with the coffee, you know, but it's more decaf than anything else, and decaf doesn't come in flavors, so I have some caffeinated. But they didn't have any decaf, and I didn't know it till I had put the cup half filled with this Brazilian coffee, dark roast. You know, yeah, it's good, but I didn't need to drink 24 ounces of it because they didn't have decaf, so knucklehead here just filled it up, and I drank it over about 7-8 minutes. And an hour later, my blood pressure was 165 over 110. Okay. And I'm like, Lord, he said, why did you drink all that caffeine? And I said, caffeine does it. And so he said, look it up. I'm like, you're telling me it's okay to look it up? And I looked it up, that caffeine will elevate your blood pressure for a short period of time. And I didn't get the correlation, because I don't drink the 5-hour energy drinks that they're loaded with caffeine. And I know what that will do. I don't drink, but 24 ounces of Brazilian coffee will do the same thing. You know. So sometimes I invited that by my actions. And sometimes we do that. We send out invitations and we don't realize it. If God says to you, don't eat this or don't eat that, listen. Or I should say obey, because we'll hear him say it, but we won't follow his instructions. Well, we're sending out an invitation for sickness to come. And sickness, they'll never RSVP, but they will always show up. You need to understand that sickness will never say, I'll be there in 2 weeks. No, it just shows up. It just shows up. And we get upset. But it's important that we understand. Our covenant does not promise that sickness will never come. It promises that God will take it away when it shows up. Right? I want you to understand that, because it's going to come. It's going to. Jesus, he said, in the world, you're going to have it. He said, but don't be dismayed, because I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of its power to harm you. So when it does come, stay calm. So you can hear Father's instructions on what you're to do about it. I really didn't. You know, when they said prostate cancer, I would wake up sometimes with a cold sweat, because I guess I was asleep and it was just bothering me and didn't realize. When I was awake, thoughts would come and I'd put it down. God's got this covered. He said he'd take sickness away from my very midst. So I said, this isn't killing me. And I actually, Bible says, in everything give thanks. I'm like, God, thank you that I have prostate cancer. This sounds crazy, but I said, because I know what to do with it. Thank you that this didn't go to someone who doesn't know who they are in Christ, because this thing ain't killing me. And that was, it's been 15 years now, 14, 15 years. But the key, all right, Father. It took me a couple of weeks to ask him what to do about it. I was driving up to Pennsylvania. He said, when are we going to talk about this? And I said, well, I guess you want to talk about it now. I turned the radio. I was listening to one of Pastor Clinton's albums, Righteous Now. And I said, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, well, turn the radio back, turn the volume back up. I turned the volume back up, and When I Believe was on. There's nothing that you need that I won't supply. There's nothing that you need that I won't provide when you believe. And I said, I got it. I said, you let me know, because I did. I said this, and my wife laughed at me. I said, God, if you tell me to go to the Hudson River and eat 3 raw crabs, that's what I'm going to do. I said to him, I may glow in the dark, but I'll eat it. Whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And the doctors were saying, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know yet. Well, you have to do something. I said, my Father knows it. And I went through all, I went and talked to him about radiation, chemo, seeds. I talked to him about all of it. I said, all right, God, what do I do about what they said? As a matter of fact, I got a job offer from one. The guy at the seed implant center said, would you mind coming back and talking to everyone else how to keep their spirits up? You know, I said, we'll give you a stipend or something. Like, if I have this procedure, yeah, I'll come and do that, but I don't know if I'm going to have it yet. In our covenant of healing, God promised that he heals all of our sicknesses, all of them. And he didn't say, unless medical science pronounced there's no cure. He didn't say that. He said he would heal all of our diseases, period. In Matthew 8, verse 16 and 7, it said, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. In 1 Peter 2:24, says he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Notice that Jesus assured us of his willingness to heal when he said he took our sicknesses upon himself. And so if he took them, guess who doesn't have them?
I don't.
Right. Because he took them. And we need to understand that. He carried our pains. And when he did that, he did his part. He fulfilled his part of our covenant. He fulfilled the contract. He fulfilled the agreement. Now we have to do our part to receive the manifestation of the healing part of our covenant. And doing our part is we have to believe. And we don't have to just believe God. It's not enough to just believe God. We have to believe in what he said. A lot of people say, yeah, I believe God. Yeah, but do you believe what he said? He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Do you believe that? He said, if you speak to the mountain and don't doubt in your heart, the mountain will move. Do you believe that? Well, I believe God said it. I didn't ask you that question. Do you believe what he said? Because you can believe God, that you can believe that God said it and not believe what he said. And if you don't, it's believing what he said that gets us through, because if you believe what he said, you automatically believe in he's God. But you can, yeah, I believe God said that, but I don't believe it's for me. Well, the scripture says that God said he's not a respecter of persons. Well, I don't believe that. Then die. I got nothing else. I mean, I got nothing else. If you're telling me you don't believe what God says, I don't have a plan B. All I have is God. And if that's not enough for you, I got nothing else. I don't mean to sound cruel, but that's the truth. You don't have a covenant with me. I didn't take away your sins. But God did. And we have to do our part. And our part is we have to believe the promises if we're going to receive. How can we receive the manifestation of the promise if we don't believe the promise? Because we're not believing, I told you this last week, we are not believing for our healing. We already were healed. We're believing for the manifestation of our healing. And it requires faith. And we have to stop comparing ourselves to other people. Lord, that destroys so many believers, you know, because and folks will stand up there and well, I know some. I have an in-law She had both of her breasts removed. She had double mastectomy because breast cancer ran in her family. I'm like, take it out of the race. But she's a, you know, she believes there is a God, but she's not faith trained, so she doesn't have the faith to believe that she won't develop breast cancer. So she doesn't have any other option. And I try to tell you, sweetheart, you don't have to go that route. But if she's not going to believe, then get the procedure. You know, because that's all she has left. So it's not enough to believe that God promised. We have to believe in the promise itself. God said it, I believe it. Period. And we have to stop comparing, as I was start saying, stop comparing ourselves to other people. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know how they've been trained or if they've been trained or what they believe. You don't know all of those circumstances. The only one that you really know is you. And what are you going to believe? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the only three people in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom that believed God. They're the only three that believed their covenant with God was stronger than the threats of the king. What if they had decided to give in? So it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks or does. All it matters, what do you think? What do you believe? Where is your hope? What's the anchor for your faith? And keep looking at Jesus and not at people. Folks will tell you in a minute, child, I had the same symptoms, you know, and I prayed, but, you know, I guess God's trying to teach me something. He's probably trying to teach you something, too. And your attitude is, no, I've already learned everything I need to know. And, you know, they're not trying to be mean. They actually think that they're helping you. But they're going with what they know, and that's fine. You go with what you know. I'm not going to base my decisions on your faith. Amen. I'm going to base my choices on my faith. Because my faith is what will work for me. So it doesn't matter. Some people, folks have told me, I went to the prayer line three times, and twice I even got anointed with oil. I said, oil doesn't heal you. Faith heals you. Yeah, but it was, you know, so well-known ministers don't heal you. Faith heals you. Are you going to tell me that I can't go to this meeting? Okay, go to your Bible and show me the passage where Jesus said, I healed them. He told them, your faith made you whole. He didn't say, I'm the one. Sing that song, it's all about me. No, he said, your faith made you whole. He said, become what you believe. That's what he told the two blind men, according to, I think, the Message Bible. He said to them, become what you believe. Their sight was restored because that's what they believed. So, and the other thing you want to not do is base your faith on your past experiences. Yeah, this happens to me every so often. Or I prayed about this the last time it happened, and no, this time I'm just going to go and have the procedure. And I'm not against medical procedure. I'm not. If that's what God told you to do. I'm for going to God. And here's why. God didn't say, I'm your Lord, period. We said, you're my Lord. We made Jesus our Lord. Well, since we made him our Lord, before we do anything, we should check in with our Lord. Lord, how do you want me to handle this? Someone says something to you and you feel yourself about, Lord, how do you want me to respond to this? Sometimes someone will say something to me and I'll turn, I'll say it to myself in a millisecond. Season my words is with salt, so I'll know how to answer this person. Because I want to say something that's representative of you, and I'm about to say something that's representative of my feelings about them. But Lord, how do you want me to respond? What do you want me to do? What do you have to say about this? Because he's our Lord. And then whatever he tells you, do it. Stop saying, I don't want to do that. Do you want the manifestation of your healing? Do you want to see the results of your covenant? Then do what the covenant maker said. Because when you don't do what it said, then you're not complying with the terms of the covenant. Because it said, let me get back to it. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he'll bless thy bread and thy water, and will take sickness away from your midst. If you serve him. Well, if you're not obeying, you're not serving. And he doesn't have to take anything from your midst. And I don't want to put him in that position because I know he wants to take care of me. So what amazes me is that no matter what's going on in this world, our covenant remains in effect. And God is going to keep his covenant, period. That's a guarantee. And God is the only one I know whose guarantee I can trust 100% of the time. With people, no matter how well-meaning, something always comes up. With God, nothing ever comes up. Ever. You look at, I meant to get to that. I'll catch you next time. No. No. In order to appropriate it, one thing is required. Faith. It's required. So I thought you said obedience. You're not going to obey unless you have faith. Because faith says you can obey God and you'll be all right. So if you're not obeying God, you don't have any faith in him. Because you don't think it'll be well with you. So you do what you want. But that's not going to work either. So you want to go back to faith. Faith means that we're righteous. Because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. So no matter how many good works you think you're doing, if you're not doing them by faith, you're not pleasing to God. That's why you have to get out of the habit of needing to know all the details before you move. So I want you to relocate to Nebraska. Go online, start looking up. What are the school system? What's the median income? How many people are leaving that to what? I'm not moving there. I rebuke you, Satan. No. She says, go to Nebraska. Plane, train, automobile, Lord. You know, I mean, that's, and you go. He said, he told Abraham, take your son, your only son whom you love, and go to this place where I'll show you. Most of us have said, wait a minute, what do you mean? What place is this? What do I need to take? How many days am I going to stay? How much food do we need to bring? You know, what am I going to tell my wife? We ask all these questions. He didn't say, when I give you instructions, question me. So when I give you instructions, obey. Obey, go, I'll show you. Okay, what direction? Go down this, follow the yellow brick road. Okay. I go. And what you need, you'll find along the way. You could be praying about an attack on your body. God said, I want you to go to Manila. Lord, I thought we were talking about the results of this biopsy. We are. Go to Manila. Okay. You go to Manila, you come back healed. What happened? You were obedient. Because he sent his provisions to a place, and he tells you to go to that place. But what he's not going to do is tell his provisions, just go wherever they go. No. Part of our covenant has to do with obedience. So if we're not obedient, we violate the covenant. And we're no longer righteous. And we don't want to be found in that place. Remember, a covenant is a binding contract. And each part member of the covenant has to do their part, has to keep their responsibilities, or they won't get the benefits of the covenant. God promised in our covenant that he heals all of our sicknesses. All of them. And I shared with you the scriptures in Matthew and in Peter, where Jesus said he took those sicknesses. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, says, be well balanced and alert, this is the Passion Translation, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him. I like the way the Passion Translation says that. No wishy-washy stuff. Take a decisive stand. I mean, stand your ground. And resist his every... Listen to this. Doesn't say resist his attack. This translation says resist his every attack. Which means this thing is going to be constantly coming after me, and I have to resist every attack. It's not one and done. And don't think, and this is not to, it's just because it says like a roaring lion, please don't think that means it's a weak lion that has no power. That's not the only reason why lions roar. Lions roar to declare, this is my territory. It's a warning to other lions. And sometimes there were other lions that already had taken over that territory but hadn't scent marked it yet. And the next thing you know, there's a fight to the death going on. Because the lions that are there are not going to give up their ground without a fight. They will go after every invader. Period. And so the enemy goes around screaming that he's in charge. This is what this is telling us. The enemy is going around, he's spouting off like he's the man, like he's the one. He's the big deal. This be his territory. Oh, really? Well, the Bible I read said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the Lord put me as an overseer over this earth. This is our garden. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and do what? Subdue it. Keep it under control. So, devil, no, it doesn't belong to you. You could be the prince of the world. I'm the king. Because my authority trumps yours. If I'm operating in faith, I have to operate in faith. See, not operating in faith, can you imagine being an officer assigned to traffic and you put up your hand and you see cars coming and you go like this, no, please, no. No, that's the way we operate. We have authority. We go like, no, everything has to stop. We don't think we can do it, yet we'll obey a traffic sign. The sign says stop. We pull up to it and what we do? We stop. The sign says yield. You yield. Sign, no right turn. You don't turn. I heard a comedian say he got a ticket because he made a left turn and he made a U-turn. And the police officer stopped him, and he said, I didn't want to turn. What? The sign said, no, you turn. He said it didn't work. But listen to what it says, because the enemy is like a roaring lion looking for prey to devour. He says, be well balanced and always alert. That's what he said. It means we always need to be found being calm, cool, and collected. Because there's an enemy out there that's trying to cause havoc. But if we stay calm, cool, and collected, we'll hear the instructions from our Father as to how he wants us to deal with this roaring lion. And believe me, God has a plan. Verse 9 says, take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. Not weak, mealy-mouthed, mamby-pamby faith, but strong, vigorous faith. Verse 10 says, then after your brief struggling, the God of all loving grace who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, I will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. That's what God will do. After you had a brief suffering, a brief struggle, you had to deal with some attacks, but you stood in there swinging. And God said, I'll make you stronger than ever. Stronger than ever. We have to steadfastly resist the devil. We have to steadfastly resist the symptoms. We have to know and understand that Jesus said he gave us power over all the power that the enemy possesses, and sickness and disease is just part of the enemy's power. And he also said, nothing shall by any means harm you. So you can stand toe-to-toe with the devil and not be harmed. Even though you can take blows and not be harmed. Because he said, nothing will by any means harm you. Nothing. Lord, how is that possible? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the furnace. And when they were called out, they came out and they were examined by all of the king's important people. And they couldn't even find the smell of smoke on them. So not even one of their hairs was singed. And they were in a fire that burned six people to death. Who didn't go in the fire, but just got near the fire. But we can go in the fire and come out smelling like a rose. If we stay strong in our faith. Hebrews 11, I mentioned it before, but I want to read it in the Amplified Bible. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith causes you to see what can't be seen. It causes you to touch what you can't really feel. It causes you to smell what you can't really smell. Faith does everything that your five senses can't. And I'll tell you something. When you say, I believe, nobody can refute that. How can someone tell you what you believe? I'm healed. Well, your hand still looks withered to me. I believe I've received the manifestation of my healing because I'm already healed. That's what I believe. Doesn't matter what anyone says. I believe it. There's no argument. But your hand, that's what you believe. No, I can see it right because you're not going by faith. I believe that I'm whole. Period. What are you basing that on? I have a covenant with God. And in that covenant, God had stated, he will take sickness from my very midst. So sickness came into my very midst. He's taken it away. That's what I believe. I got to wrap this up. I'll give you this little nugget. The goal is to develop your faith in the Word of God before the symptoms come. The symptoms will find it harder and harder to attach themselves to your body, which has been brought with a price. Don't wait until you're in the battle to learn how to use your weapon. As we've been taught by Pastor Clinton, learn during peacetime how to use your weapons for wartime.